Well, it's good to have so many people here today. I assume the parking lot was pretty full, and I'd like to announce today our new building campaign. Because I expect you all to be back tomorrow. I don't know what time you have to leave from Nebraska to get here, but I think you have to leave pretty early in the morning. It's good to have family with us to celebrate this time. My mom and dad came from Ohio. Actually, they came Thursday to help with some babysitting as I was away from home. But every time that they come, they bring stuff. They bring goodies. They bring cookies. They bring trail bologna and Swiss cheese that you can't get from anywhere else but the Wayne and Holmes County area. They bring toys and clothes for the children. And they bring things for me that I have found no use for in the last 12 to 15, maybe 20 years. Because every now and then, Mom likes to tidy up a bit in the room that once was called Kevin's. So she finds a way to pack certain things that I maybe haven't seen as being overly necessary for my life in the last number of years. And sometimes these things I can find a job for someplace else by donating them to a thrift store or sometimes elsewhere, the round receptacle in our backyard. But the thing that she brought this time is something that I'm not about to give away or throw away. It's something that I'm going to probably reacquaint myself with, something that I haven't seen or used for 15, 20 years. And that is my Duncan Yo-Yo. Now, what many of you don't know is that I know the yo. I went to yo-yo camp as a kid. I didn't really go to yo-yo camp, but I went to a camp where we learned how to yo-yo. I know a few things, and I'm going to make some mistakes along the way because, as I said, it's been 20 years. But I still have some of that muscle memory that allows me to recall just how to do certain tasks. I can obviously, it's the yo-yo's a little out of practice. I can still do some of the tricks. I can walk the dog. Ready? Whoa. Back up. No problem. Little problem, but again, it's a yo-yo. I can allow it to sleep. You see that? One pull, and we're back up. I can do around the world, but I was trying to get an idea for the space here. There's glass, there's fire, there's microphones, lights. I might not try that one right now. If you have time, maybe out in the parking lot after church, I can show you around the world. Again, I don't really trust the integrity of the string. It may fly out in there, and I know that we recently renewed our contract, our insurance policy with Max, but I'm not sure that I want to go there today. Might put a bad spin upon this lovely day. Ooh. I'm like, why are they booing me? That was totally unintentional. That's... But my family is here today because we are dedicating Hadley. We have made the commitment to living our lives in such a way that we will provide a good Christian home for her to grow up in. And I think that as we look at the scripture for today, on the outside, it's a nice scripture, but it's not necessarily about children. It's not about a child dedication. Surely there would have been other passages in the Bible that I could have chose from that would seem more appropriate for today, right? But when I start looking about what the scripture is about, I think I could not have chosen a better passage of scripture for this morning. And you know what? I didn't choose it. Again, this is today's lectionary passage from the Revised Common Lectionary. This text was chosen for us, and it seems so appropriate today. So let's look at that text a little bit to see why I feel that it's so appropriate for this dedication of our daughter. And the first thing I need to do is back up a little bit and look at the context of the book of Ephesians. We call it the book of Ephesians, but really it was a letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, many people, the scholars, will debate for long periods of times as to who the author of Ephesians really is. Some people say that there's no way that the Apostle Paul could have written this book. Others say, well, it says Paul in there, so it must at least be some guy named Paul, because Paul was a common name back in those days, just like it is today. Other people say it was a disciple of Paul's who was simply writing in the context of the Apostle Paul. But for our situation here today, I want to concentrate on the Apostle Paul. Whether or not he actually wrote it, I think it will help us to better understand this passage of Scripture if we look at it as coming from the Paul that met Jesus on that road to Damascus. The guy formerly known as Saul, the persecutor of the church, who was transformed to his fundamental being by this encounter with Jesus. Now, the church in Ephesus is said to have been started by that Paul. We think of Paul as traveling around the world, and he was preaching and teaching, and he spent a lot of time in some cities where he thought that his ministry might do some real good for the kingdom of God. And the city of Ephesus is one of those cities. Paul is said to have spent 3 years in Ephesus helping to plant the church of the Ephesians. So he spent this time dedicated to teaching and preaching and building disciples and building the kingdom in that area. But Paul didn't just simply pick up and leave them. When Paul left, Paul took his number one disciple, his protege, Timothy, and he put Timothy in charge of that congregation. So when we read the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy as Timothy is providing pastoral leadership to this young congregation. So this church in Ephesus was birthed by Paul. It was nurtured through its infancy by Paul. And it was cared for through and into its young adult lifehood by Paul and his protege, Timothy. This is how Paul felt about this church. He cared deeply for it. He was intimately involved with this congregation. So today's passage of Scripture is Paul's prayer for this congregation that he's so intimately involved with. And I want to look at a few aspects of that prayer of Paul to see how we can better pray for each other. And it tells us in that passage of Scripture that Paul prays for the people of Ephesus to be filled with strength and power. Now, this is not the kind of strength and power that one would need to tear a phone book in half or to bend steel or to carry their sister-in-law's piano up several flights of stairs this weekend. Not that kind of strength, but the kind of strength that we need to persevere. The kind of strength that we need to endure hardships. The kind of strength that we need whenever we have financial burdens, when we get that bad report from the doctor. The kind of report, or the kind of strength and power that we need when things just aren't going our way. And Paul says that this kind of strength and this kind of power is the strength and power that we can only get through the Holy Spirit. So Paul prays to God, God, give these people strength and power to endure those times. Because Paul knows that the church will experience those kind of times. And Paul goes on to pray that they will experience the indwelling of Christ. Strange language there. The indwelling of Christ. And I think it's important that we look at who Paul was. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, this could be the same Paul who was traveling down the road to Damascus when he was struck by light. And he heard the voice of Jesus calling out to him. And right then and there, Paul had this conversion experience. Up to that point, he had been known as Saul. But now he was going to be called Paul. There was something fundamentally about him that changed. This wasn't just a random meeting like, hey, how are you doing? My name is Saul. Nice to meet you. And then they go off on their own merry way. When Paul met Jesus, everything about him changed from his name to what he was doing, his vocation. I mean, his vocation was persecutor of the church up until this point. And now he became a defender of the persecuted church. Paul was changed from the inside out. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ living within me. It is because Paul had Christ living within him, that he was so changed from the inside out. And now that this Christ was within him, everything that he did was to be a manifestation of God's presence within him and the world around him. Paul is now praying that the Ephesians will have this indwelling of Christ. And the third thing that Paul prays for the Ephesian church is for them to be rooted and established in love. This is a plant. Are you taking notes? That is a plant. It is likely some sort of bean plant, I'm not sure. But it has an extensive root system. I don't even know how they take a picture like this, but I thought it was interesting, and it illustrates how deep roots go. Now, roots have multiple functions, right? We know that roots are not just there for because they're pretty. Roots do a lot of things. And one thing that they do is they draw up nutrients and moisture from the soil to feed the plant. Now, there are three main nutrients that plants use to grow and to flourish and reproduce. And those nutrients are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. The agronomist within me wants to tell you that those are the macronutrients required to produce a healthy and bountiful crop. So if the plant receives adequate amounts of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, as well as some other trace minerals, and sufficient water, it should, by all means, grow and produce. But if the ground is contaminated, if it is tainted in some way or another, the plant is not really good at discerning what it draws up. If there is something, let's say we replace the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium with arsenic, strychnine, and ethylene glycol, which were the only three poisonous things I could think of. I don't even know where you would find those things, except for ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze. Thank you. Arsenic, strychnine, ethylene glycol. If we were to replace those macronutrients with these things, the plant may still be able to live, because I don't really know what those nutrients are made up, those poisons are made up of. But the plant may be able to survive. Probably not. It will look pretty sad. But if it did produce something, I'm going to bet we wouldn't want to eat it. The things that we plant a seed in, the nutrients that it draws up into itself, can either allow that plant to grow and flourish, or it can cause it to become contaminated and toxic, and perhaps kill the plant. But not only that, a root system provides a foundation for the plant. It becomes stronger because of this foundation of roots in the soil. A few weeks ago, some of us found out what would happen if our trees don't have sufficient roots in the soil. Some of us are still cleaning up after that storm from a few weeks ago because our trees did not have a strong enough root system to support them with all the force blowing through their branches. So being rooted and grounded in good soil is important so that the plant may grow and flourish, but it's also important so that the plant may have adequate foundation to remain growing and flourishing for a period of time. So when Paul says that he prays for the Ephesians to be rooted and grounded in love, I think that what he's saying is he wants them to be drawing their essential nutrients, the things that help them to grow and develop, to be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded, may that be their foundation. May they draw their very life being from the love that we see through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to keep moving here, halfway through the notes. Now, if we jump ahead several books of the Bible, we come to Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, we find John the Revelator reporting the vision that he's been given from God. And he's been given this message that he's supposed to convey to seven different churches. And it follows the same pattern with each church. John addresses the church and perhaps an angel that is providing guardianship, guidance to that congregation. And he says something that the church is doing really well. He gives them praise, laud, and honor for the things that they're doing well. And then he says the things that they're maybe could grow a little bit in. They're growing edges, perhaps the places where they are failing to be the church that God has called them to be. Now, the first church that is listed in Revelation chapter 2 is the church in Ephesus. Sound familiar? The church in Ephesus. And John says to the church in Ephesus, he says that they are hardworking individuals, that they are faithful, and that they have a low tolerance for wickedness. And then he goes on to say that they excel. He commends them for their excellent ability to persevere. To persevere. That was the first aspect of Paul's prayer. That they may have strength. They may have power to persevere in the difficult times. Paul's prayer has been answered in that way. But there's the negative side. And John writes this in verse 4. He says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." That love that they were to be rooted and grounded in now seems to be absent. So instead of being rooted and grounded in love, which gives life, they're being rooted and grounded likely in something that is toxic, something that may cause them to have a weak foundation, and they may topple and fall. Now, I look at this scripture today as we have this dedication for Hadley. And I realize that the prayer that Paul had for the church in Ephesus is the same prayer that I have for my daughter. The things that Paul lifts out are things that I want for her in her life. I pray that Hadley have the strength and power that can only come through the Holy Spirit to help her through the difficult times in life. Now, as her father, I don't want her to experience heartbreak. I don't want her to experience pain. And as long as I am physically able, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep her from experiencing those things. But I know those things will come. So I pray for her that she will have strength and power, the strength and power that can only come through the Holy Spirit to endure those times. And I pray that she has this indwelling of Christ within her that is so big that she can't keep it in, so that like Paul, she lives her life following Jesus. People can see that there's something different about her, that it just spills out into all of the world, and she makes the kingdom of God known to all people that she comes in contact with. I pray that she has that indwelling. And I pray that she remains rooted and grounded in love, that be the source of the nutrients that she draws into her body, that she eats, drinks, and breathes love for God and love for neighbor, love for people she's never met. It is my prayer that she is that kind of person. But like Paul and that church in Ephesus, I know that she has free will. And I know her parents very well, and I know that she's not going to always do the things that I would have her do. she's her father's daughter and her mother's daughter. The chances of her doing everything that we want her to do are very slim. I mean, I'm no mathematician, but I can tell you that just from experience. She will do things that I don't like. She will make choices that I don't agree with. And my prayer is that she will know that God is drawing her back. I think we're all kind of like yo-yos. Some of us more than others. We have this desire to check the length of our string, to see how far away we can go, to see how far we can stray, to see how far in any which one direction we might be able to get away from the center. We want to test our boundaries, test our limits. We want to be out there or somewhere along this continuum. I personally am a yo-yo like that. But like a yo-yo, there's always this external force pulling us back. This desire within us to return to the hand that can hold us with love and grace and tenderness. We have a God that does not hold us in a clenched fist. I mean, what good is a yo-yo that is held in a clenched fist like that? That defeats the entire purpose of a yo-yo. A yo-yo is meant to have the ability to check those boundaries, the ability to test that string. But there's always that gentle pull back to the loving hand. My prayer for Hadley is that she will recognize that gentle pulling from God. When she does stray away from my ideal will for her, God's ideal will for her, I hope that she senses God drawing her back. Now the thing about a yo-yo is that if you have the yo-yo at the end of the string, you cannot simply jerk it as hard as you want. It causes pain in so many ways. Are you still videoing? If you jerk the string of a yo-yo, even if it's actually sleeping, and yes, I'll teach you how to do that so you don't ever wind a yo-yo again. If you jerk the string of a yo-yo, even when it's down there sleeping, it will just fly off into the distance. It won't wrap up the string like it's supposed to. You must know the adequate and the right amount of pressure to exert pulling it back. If you pull too hard, it'll go flying. If you don't pull at all, it'll just sit there and hang and dangle. And the same is true with our God. God has this knowledge, the experience, the love and the patience to know just how much to pull us. And I pray that when Hadley does stray and makes the decisions that maybe we wouldn't have her make, that she will know that that loving God is pulling her back and drawing her into His hand. So the prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, it is the same prayer that I have for all of you, the same prayer I have for my daughter Hadley. I pray for you all strength and power, the strength and power that can only come through the Holy Spirit, the strength and power to endure the things that life has to throw at us. I pray for you all the indwelling of Christ so that the Spirit of God may live within you, that it may come to the point where you no longer live, but it is Christ that lives within you, and you can't keep that all in. And I pray that you all will be rooted and established in love. May you draw the very nutrients that you need to grow and flourish, not from things of this outside world and not from the things that might define others, but from the love that we've seen in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is my prayer for you today, my prayer for my daughter forever. Amen.